Good morning. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day out there. I hope you're enjoying it. It's Tuesday morning. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. I'm joined in studio by my good friend, Jay Lanigan. How you doing, Jay? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Chris.
You had a bit of a late night. You're at the city council.
Yeah, I had to leave early to help my daughter with some homework, but I was there for a bit. Yep.
It was, I thought, a really interesting meeting. There was conversations about zoning. There was conversation about parking. Your thoughts on the meeting last night that you were at?
I thought it was an exciting city council meeting. I enjoy, you know, being in the chamber and having an opportunity to present to the council whenever, you know, I'm asked to or get a chance to. The folks at South Coast Places for People sort of organized the, YIMBY movement that was there last night to come in and discuss intelligently, you know, reduction in parking to the city council in a way to bolster development in New Bedford and, you know, increase the tax rate and so on. So it was those folks that rallied, you know, rallied people to get there. You know,
Jay Lanigan, for those of you who don't know, is a restaurateur, real estate developer, has a lot of property in the city of New Bedford and in the region. Jay, it sounded to me, some of the city councils really understand that they, particularly Ian Abreu, we were just talking about it off the air, when he stood up and said, enough with the NIMBY, enough with the not in my backyard, that may have been a pivotal moment, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, it's, you know, as someone who sits in front of, you know, countless presentations about the region and economic development and, you know, what we need and, you know, what the statistics are in terms of, say, median, you know, income and educational attainment and resources mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. You know, we're not going to move the needle until we start making some changes that signal to the development community in the Commonwealth and beyond that this region of Massachusetts is serious about, you know, developing and, you know, meeting a housing supply or meeting the demand of housing by changing the way that they approve developments.
Right.
You know? So, and for the first time, I think, you know, Ian took a big risk and, you know, and said, hey, enough with the NIMBY stuff.
Right.
You know, and NIMBYs are his voters, yeah. You know, some of his voters.
Sure.
You know? So he took a big risk, but, I think it'll pay off because it took guts, and that's what true leadership is all about. So I applaud Ian for saying that out loud.
We have Jay Lanigan here in the studio with us talking about last night's city council meeting. Talk about the housing needs, the 10,000 square. Talk about that, the foot, how much land they need, all of that stuff.
Yeah, so I was given a report a week or two ago by a very reputable, you know, research organization, you know, here in Massachusetts, Mass Inc.
Right.
And, you know, in that presentation, you know, they outlined, you know, the need for upwards of 20,000 housing units between New Bedford and Fall River. And it's easy to throw those numbers around, you know, 10,000, 20,000, you know, that doesn't sound like that much.
Right.
But if you built 10,000 housing units in the city of New Bedford, that would change the character of New Bedford. It would change the way it looks and feels.
Sure.
And that's what's needed to meet the demand. You know, it's not as though they're trying to overbuild. That's the deficit, you know, that we need to build. And if you average, say, a unit at 1,000 square feet, right, which
okay.
could be low, right?
Yes.
But we build a lot of apartments at 700, 800 square feet. You might build single family homes at 1,700, 2,000, 2,500, all the way up to 4,000, 5,000, right?
Right.
So if you use a conservative estimate of 1,000 square feet per unit,
okay,
that's 10 million square feet of housing,
right?
Right. The city of New Bedford is very long and narrow. It's wet and contaminated, right? So the area, right? I mean, it's really, we're just talking about math at this point. It's just length times width.
Right.
Right. There's only so much area in New Bedford
yes.
to build. So you can't meet that demand of you know, millions of square feet
right.
of housing.
It's almost ridiculous.
You can't. It's a math problem. It's not a political problem.
Right.
And, you know, so then you start getting into, well, is it more of a volume problem? It's, you know, it's length times width times height. we're no longer just dealing with a flat surface.
Right.
We need to build cubes.
Yes.
You know, and both from a housing perspective and probably from a parking perspective, because you do have to park cars. You
yes.
just have to become more imaginative and creative in the way that you provide parking. Right. And we were talking about some of that, you know, off air. And,
yes.
You know, there are lots, you know, the vacant properties in New Bedford, you know, there's some of them could be put to use for resident parking or quote unquote inexpensive, you know, parking structures, you know, because not every piece of vacant land can be a building, you know. So how do
right.
we reimagine how we park cars and at the same time get very serious about building buildings, right?
Jay Lanigan, you're a developer. You know a lot about building. And do we have to go up? I think you said it in the meeting last night. I don't know what the total context of it was, but explain that.
Well, the city of New Bedford is very long and narrow and wet and contaminated, right?
Right.
So we only have so much area to build on. And, you know, folks in economic development and some politicians bring that up a lot, that New Bedford is substantially built out. We don't have a lot of land to expand outwards or we have to go up. For New Bedford to develop, it has to go up.
Right.
And it's from where I sit, that's the only answer if we want to build.
What is the resistance to going up? I think going up is fine.
Well, there's cost.
Okay.
You know, it's very expensive to build new buildings like that. You know, you could say, you know, skyscrapers or 10-story buildings, right? It's very expensive to build buildings. But developers, you know, historically have been able to figure that out, you know, with the support of, you know, state and federal agencies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're reimagining tax credits. They're starting to come out with new programs that address not only low income, but market rate housing and so on. But if the city starts to change its ordinances in the way that they discussed last night,
mm-hmm.
and last night was just parking, right? There are other ordinance. They could go through the ordinances and say, okay, what are other cities and towns, municipalities, you know, metropolitan cities that have seen explosive growth over the years? And make no mistake about it, our region needs explosive growth.
Yes,
we are. We have been economically depressed for decades, if not longer, right?
Right.
So we have to go into the ordinances and figure out what we can tweak to incentivize developers to build, you know, at a rapid pace. We have to let the development community know in practice through our ordinances and our building approval processes that this is an area that is dead serious about economic development.
We have Jay Lanigan here in the studio. Everybody knows him. He's been around for his whole life. He's been down here, except when he was out at UMass Amherst. He's a restaurateur, developer, real estate guy, Lanigan Inc. The meeting last night, we'll talk more about it, about parking. Really interesting meeting, I thought, and some of the compromises and it got bumped till next year. Some of the stuff that was on the agenda. So we're going to take a break and then we'll be back. If you want to speak with Jay, ask a question, make a comment, you certainly can at 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. You know, plumbing emergencies, they don't wait. They really don't wait. And neither should you. At Bass Ready Router, they treat every call like it's their own home. It's a family-owned business that has been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974, and they've been doing it the right way, with honesty and respect. That's why neighbors and plumbers alike recommend Bass Ready Router with over 700 five-star Google reviews. Bass Ready Router, they may not be your first call, but they'll always be your last call. Write this down, bassready.com. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. You know, it's that magical time of the year when here on South Coast, when your car won't start, your wallet's empty, and that special someone on your list has champagne dreams. Well, don't panic. Mid-City Scrap right in Westport has your back. They're paying top dollar for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars. It really doesn't matter. They'll tow it for free. They'll get it out of your yard, get it out of your sight, and you'll get the cash you need for some great Christmas gifts. So that means more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's be honest, more eggnog. More eggnog. Call Mid-City Scrap today or stop right by. You can't miss them. They're at 548 State Road in Westport. Mid-City Scrap, turning junk cars into cash all winter long. We have Jay Lanigan from the business community of the greater New Bedford area here in studio. Jay, last night the meeting was about parking. You and I were talking off air. Parking could be the major problem for development in the city of New Bedford, the way it's been handled over the years, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's anecdotal, right? But, you know, this obsession with parking, you know, that folks have in this area, you know, could in fact be, you know, one of the reasons why we struggle to keep pace with other, you know, cities like ours, you know, regarding development. You know,
right.
There are other gateway cities in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. You know, Fall River is one of them. Haverhill's
right.
Another one, right? Who have been able to figure out how to strike a balance between, you know, parking and development and affordable housing and market rate housing. And I think it's part of their identity. It's part of their ethos. It's part of, you know, how they operate. And, you know, we should, mimic or copy, you know, those other cities in certain ways to enjoy, you know, similar growth.
Do we have enough private sector entrepreneurs in the parking business? In other words, I think you and I both agree the market solves most problems. It really does. Do we need some of the developers, some of the entrepreneurs to get into the parking business?
So it's interesting that you say that. I mean, I'm presently selling individual parking spaces in downtown New Bedford, right? Which is something that is fairly new. I mean, it happens, and it was brought up in the meeting actually before at the South Coast Places for People meeting before the city council meeting last night. And it was brought up by somebody else, and I didn't, you know, say that hey, I'm selling some parking right now. I just listened, and this person, you know, who was Will Gardner, said, hey, in Boston, they sell parking rights for $150,000 to $200,000 plus a monthly fee.
Yep.
You know, and here in earlier in the day, I was talking with Albert Santos, who is the person selling the parking spots.
Okay.
About how we structure selling individual lots, you know, and we were going back and forth about, you know, what the structure could be. You know, it could be a 99-year lease, so you could buy the rights for 99 years, and then you could pay a monthly fee. You could condo out the lot and sell an individual lot as a condo, and it would have its own deed. It would have its own deed and taxes. A co-op structure could work, or so. Right. So we were really talking, you know, talking it through yesterday.
Yes.
But what's important is that, you know, the private sector in downtown New Bedford is strategically securitizing and monetizing parking at an individual spot level, right, in an area that is compressed. From a parking perspective, you know, and, you know, additionally, folks in downtown New Bedford who have parking lots are starting to rent those spaces or entire lots out 24 hours a day, meaning they're using it or renting those spots to a population of people during the day, and then at night they're renting the parking lot to restaurants and other folks that, you know, that may need it, residents and so on. So folks are monetizing their parking lots for different uses throughout the day and 24 hours a day. So downtown New Bedford is an example in the city of an area that has been giving away parking waivers for decades, meaning you can open a restaurant with zero parking spaces.
Right.
You can build apartment buildings with zero parking spaces. And we're finally at the point where environment has created a private market for parking. And it's more efficient than what was previously there. So we don't have to go very far to prove that reducing parking to even zero works. It works in downtown New Bedford. Downtown New Bedford has seen probably the most explosive growth in the city out of any area in the city, and it has zero parking requirements. Zero. Not one, not one and a half, not two, zero.
You can have an apartment building with zero parking.
That is correct. Most of the large apartments that are going up now, with the exception of the two that I've been working on, which have less than one space per unit, the others, one has zero, about 50 units, zero parking spaces, and the other has is certainly fewer than one per spot. So we're doing it in practice. This isn't like a radical idea that's untested. We're doing it now. It's working now, and it's creating a market for parking, which I think would extend into other parts of the city. You know, people will figure out where to park cars efficiently and how to monetize it, and the city could play a part in creating, you know, beautiful parklets of resident parking, or, you know, everyone can participate. But I think parking is a pressure point and byproduct of development. It's something that needs to be managed, not something that needs to prohibit development.
We have Jay Lanigan. Of course, he's a real estate broker. How do people get in touch with you, Jay? What's the best way to do that?
You can call me on my cell phone, 508-985-8898.
And, of course, you got a website.
www.lanniganinc.com.
So, Jay, you're talking about downtown New Bedford. I know up in Ward 2, certain parts, other parts of the city, they do have parking problems. The same model can work, right?
Yes, and I don't think it's something that you can plan for in advance. You know, I think, you know, necessarily. You know, I think you have to say, okay, what's more important, parking cars or building the tax base?
Yes.
What's more important? You know,
got to be building the tax base.
Building the tax base, you know, and providing housing. I mean, make no mistake about it. We are in a housing crisis. I mean, I'm handling, housing needs at both ends of the spectrum. I'm working on a project at 636 Purchase Street, which is owned by the Pilgrim Church. It's across the street from the Zeitarian Theater. It in that neighborhood is, I think, New Bedford's, best served homeless shelter.
Yeah. And there I went to a gun buy back there.
Yeah. There is a need.
Weren't selling.
There's a desperate need to address shelter and for the homeless in New Bedford, and there's also a need to build high end housing for folks who want to live in New Bedford. It's across the spectrum.
Right. And as you pointed out, we've got contaminated property. That's no secret. Every city has contaminated. Every town has contaminated property. We had it in Freetown. We have it in Fairhaven. Certainly, we have it in New Bedford. You can park cars in most cases on contaminated land. Sure. As an example.
Sure. I don't see a reason why not. You'd have to discuss that with an LSP. But sure. I mean, you can cap, contaminated land and park cars on it until you figure out what to do with it in the future or something like that. But in many cases, that may be the highest and best use for it at the moment. And it may, in fact, incentivize development in that area, which we desperately need.
We have Jay Lanigan here in the studio. Jay, we're going to take a call here. Let me see here. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Jay, what do you think of the Melville Towers building where all the parking is underneath the building? Are there any problems with that? Aren't we pretty much forced to have high-rise buildings? And why can't the parking be underneath like Melville Towers. And also, I want your opinion on an economic report. I heard that the suburbs will not be building any high-rises there because it would cost $1 million per quarter mile to install the necessary sewage and water. And I'll take my answer off the air, okay?
Thanks for the call. Great question, sir.
As far as underground parking is concerned, that underground parking comes up just about every time we are involved in looking at a site in New Bedford, you know, and folks, particularly from folks from, you know, out of town who will come in and say they want to develop 200 units here. And well, where are we going to park? Well, we could do underground parking. And then you start digging into the pro forma and you realize that underground parking in New Bedford, because rents are lower, mm-hmm. cost to build is the same.
Yep.
So underground parking is very expensive mm-hmm. and it becomes a non-starter immediately. Okay. I haven't heard a person continue that conversation in the 10 years that I've been looking at, you know, development, serious developments, right? So the reason that you can't build underground parking here in New Bedford is because it's too expensive.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's a reality. As it pertains to building high-rise buildings, I don't think that's the only thing that you can build. I mean, I think there's certainly opportunities to build single-family homes, two-family homes, three-family homes, six-family homes, you know, ranch-style homes. There's opportunities to build every type of housing in New Bedford.
Okay.
Right? You know, there's temporary housing, there's homeless shelters, there's luxury homes. We need everything, okay. 10,000 units of everything. But yes, we do need some high-rises. I don't think there's anything wrong with building skyscrapers.
Are the economics there for that?
I think the demand for housing, you know, says that it is. Okay. As far as the region's, you know, demographics and economic data, maybe not. But, you know, we have a housing shortage, you know, so we have to build, you know, housing. And in an area that is long and narrow and wet and contaminated, you know, there's really, you know, at a certain point, we will have to go up, right. You know. And then in terms of the suburbs, sure, there are lots of reasons that would make building tall buildings or more density in the surrounding towns difficult.
Yes.
But those towns are not exempt from the housing shortage or housing crisis, affordable housing and market rate housing and right. everything else. There isn't an imaginary line around New Bedford where the problems stop.
Right.
It's a regional problem. So yeah. Regionally, we have to build all types of housing of all shapes and sizes.
508-996. So we have Jay Lanigan here in the studio. Jay's well-known in the area. Developer, restaurateur. Let's go back to the phones, Jay. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Barry Sylvie. Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Barry.
Good morning, Barry.
I get to meet Jay when I was chairman of the zoning board, again, developing downtown at a responsible rate with the Rose Alley. Of late, I've had the opportunity to refer Jay to a neighbor, and he sold his house in quick fashion for a great price. So I can attest to the fact that Jay does know what he's talking about. My question to you, Jay, and you can answer it off the air, is when we were at the zoning board, they did a project. We have 101 mills, and they talk about, you know, the contamination, the level of contamination possible underground parking, police access to patrol. My question to you is, what about that? That'll be an answer off the air. But Chris, you know, if Jay had another hand, he could be the Economic Development Council here and do a good job at that. Derek, I think he needs to go. I'll call him out. He built my house. Chris, you've been in my house.
Yes.
When he designed my house, the outside of the house has 2 more feet than the inside of the house. And that's who we have running economic development. But my concern is, and I ended up consulting for a man by the name of Vinny Cucciara. And Vinny, we developed the brownfield site in Marlborough, Massachusetts, the old Fry Boot Company. Everybody probably had Fry Boots when they were kids, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So we developed that into Christopher House, and there's one in Attleboro. He's got about nine of them, Worcester, Marlboro. But as I see it, because, you know, if 2.5 goes away or stays, I don't think our elderly population, and I feel mostly for them, becoming elderly myself, but I feel mostly for them that we don't have a place for them to comfortably live, and they aren't going to be able to continue to afford their 2 and 3 deckers that their grandparents brought them up. They lived in the same house, especially if we have to fix this, the wastewater sewage treatment plant. I just wonder if we could have some compassion for the elderly, and create these like the Christopher houses, and maybe use these mills over there with Whalers Cove, and maybe develop more of them for 55 and over, and give them some dignity, because they're not going to be able to afford it. But again, my question to you, Jay, and you do a great job, Jay, off the air, you can answer that for us. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Barry, former chairman of the Board of Appeals here in the city of New Bedford, a resident of the South End. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, per usual, Barry, he lights it up. He gives you a lot to think about. But, Barry does his homework. He spends a lot of time figuring out, you know, what municipalities need. He's dialed in to the Conference of Mayors. He travels all over the country. You know, he's a person who I think thrives on having the right information and sharing the right information. Yep. And if you know Barry and you're friends with Barry, you know that he will call or text you with that information at any time of the day or night.
Yes.
As it comes to him and things that you should know about it. So Barry's, you know, a wealth of information. But what I'll say is, you know, you're right. I mean, seniors need housing. I mean, I've tried to build some senior housing here in the center of Fairhaven, and I was met with some serious, you know, NIMBY resistance.
Serious,
you know, and it was unfortunate because those, you know, the folks who needed to show up to that meeting who were the seniors, really couldn't. You know, the seniors can't expect the seniors to walk into the lion den and fight, you know, an angry mob of neighbors who are just concerned about, you know, maybe themselves.
Right.
I'll say development is contagious in the sense that if you get, you know, a movement of people that understand that a region or a town or a neighborhood needs to develop, it needs more uses, it needs to fill some gaps, whether it be, again, homelessness or seniors or, you know, luxury or service-related businesses. If you get a region or a town or, you know, it's collectively people, if they understand that we need to develop, and how do we say yes? When a proposal comes across our desk at a town or a city, planning department, a ZBA, CONCOM, DPI, whatever it is, if we get an application, if we get a set of plans, if everybody's on the same page in the sense that we need to develop, we need to build the tax base, we need to spend money on education, how do we get to a yes versus no, 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 we can't because, we can't because, we can't because. If the culture becomes, okay, this may not be perfect, how do we take into consideration the neighbor's concerns and then thoughtfully incorporate those into the plans and then say yes? The answer is going to be yes. So, you know, because we need it. You know, if that mindset becomes the mindset of the region, I think we'll be able to meet some of the gaps that Barry described.
We have Jay Lanigan here in the studio. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back. If you want to get involved in the conversation, talking about parking, housing, development, enhancing the tax base. It was a big city council meeting last night. I thought it was very interesting. And it was continued till next year. We'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We have a local developer with us, Jay Lanigan, who was at last night's city council meeting. Jay, from a number of city councils, including Ian Abreu, but also Ryan Pereira, Sean Oliver, heard about growing the tax base. I mean, that has to be done, right?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time, and I think everybody talks about it when they come on this show, you know, and, you know, as a region that has been economically depressed and viewed to be economically depressed by the rest of the Commonwealth, right?
Right.
You know, we have to build our tax base, you know, and again, I think it's more of a, it has to be part of, you know, how people think. It has to be part of, you know, we have to sort of tell our kids at a young age, like, hey, this is where we live, you know, it's going to be important that we grow our tax base.
Right.
They don't know what that means, but just say it to them. And you know, and then the reality of it is, it's those are decisions that we make, that we need to make now, that many of us won't see come to fruition in our lifetime.
Right.
You know? So it's you know, it takes a very long time to build housing. You know, some of these, you know, developments, you know, 18 in Union in downtown New Bedford, which, you know, is where the National Club is, right? It's finished, right? The project is finished.
Okay.
You know, the National Club is open.
Yes.
It's a beautiful restaurant.
It is.
It used to be the most notorious, you know, bar in New Bedford, and it's now arguably the most beautiful restaurant in New Bedford.
I'm just disappointed they don't leave the ice in the urinals.
That was great, right?
And when it was the original National Club, there was ice in the urinals.
Right.
No running water, but
it was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Totally. It was like a country club.
A necessary touch.
Yeah. But you know, that project, which is, you know, very challenging, it was a historical project, it was, you know, a lot went into it, took almost 8 years of commitment, you know, LaFrance Hospitality, mm-hmm. and, you know, the team that was, you know, around them to help get that project finished, took about 8 years. So development doesn't happen fast. You know, it takes a year to permit something. It takes several years to build it. If tax credits are involved, you may have to wait a few more years for those to roll in. I mean, development takes a long time. So, you know, you have to fill the pipeline with lots of projects, you know, and that's where, you know, municipalities and developers have to come together to say, hey, you know, in the development community has to know that the region or the city is going to say yes.
Right. Yes.
And that's the part that you can't measure.
Okay.
So you know, over the years, if the perception is that, you know, a particular town or region or city isn't open for development, the development community talks. So when
yes.
I go to other parts of the state, again, Haverhill, Lowell, Western Massachusetts, and the development community comes together, right? Oftentimes brought together by, say, Mass Development or Mass Housing or someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
The folks in the room will talk about, you know, what municipalities or which municipalities have figured out how to incentivize developers to build. And last night was a perfect example of a detail in an ordinance in a city that the development community will talk about, you know, in Western Massachusetts or in Boston or, you know, outside of the region to say, hey, did you hear that New Bedford reduced its parking minimum?
Right.
They're dead serious about developing. And that starts to move people down here and, you know, and do projects. You know, that's billions of dollars.
Right.
Right.
Billions of dollars. And when we were talking about the housing at the start of the hour, talking about how much square footage is going to be needed to meet the minimum demand right now for housing, talk about that.
So again, that was just an off the cuff estimate based mm-hmm. on real data though is presented to us from Mass Inc. You know, which was you need about 10,000 units. Again, I just, you know, approximately 1,000 square feet a
right.
unit, which is probably conservative
mm-hmm.
if you take into consideration building single family homes, you know, and you just, you know, again, multiply that, you know, 10,000, you know, times 1,000.
Right.
Right. It's 10 million. So
you have to go up.
You have to go up. Or
right.
you just have to imagine the city with 10 million more square feet of residential housing. And then, you know, not to mention how many millions of square feet of retail and everything else would then follow mm-hmm. if you were able to increase the population in New Bedford by, I mean, how many thousands of people will live in 10,000 units? 20,000, 30,000.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's an increase of what, 30%?
Yes.
I mean, it would be the character of the city would change, and that's just to meet the demand. That's not a lofty goal.
Right.
That's saying, hey, this is the pent-up demand. This is what we have to build. But I just explained it can take 7 or 8 years to build some, you know, high-quality housing. This is not a problem that can be solved in 12 months or within the confines of the city councilor's, you know, two-year tenure.
Right.
This is a generational problem.
Right.
But it's going to require a mind shift within the region and among the community to say yes to developments when they're dropped on the desk, you know?
How did you feel coming out of last night's meeting?
I felt energized. I was so appreciative that the South Coast, you know, Places for People, the name's tough to say, but they're a great organization. It's a true grassroots, small but very thoughtful and intelligent group of people who have taken it upon themselves to dig into the details, to do the research, and to look at development objectively. As you know, as people who live here, people who send their kids to school here, and it's again, I sort of jokingly call them YIMBYs, but you know, it's done.
Explain what that means.
It's yes in my backyard compared to not in my backyard.
Right.
But they're doing it in a way that's based on data. You know, so they're finding other municipalities, other cities and towns who have done these things. And seen, you know, positive results, and they're showing up to meetings, and they did that last night.
Where, right.
As a developer, you often say the only people that show up to the meetings are the people that are in opposition.
Right.
And when you're building senior housing, you can't ask seniors, hey, can you come out at 7 o'clock at night and support this project?
Right.
They shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
So these folks are filling a gap in creating some balance in the development process. You know, and it's nice to see that. It might be the beginning of the movement that I'm talking about.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back. We have Jay Lanigan. He's a developer, restaurateur here in the area, grew up right here in the area. We're taking your calls at 508-996-0. If I invited him in after last night's city council meeting, I was watching it, listening to it. Really interesting meeting. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Yeah, so I guess I'll leave you with this, Chris. You know, because you know I do have to I have to get to an attorney's office to close a deal, right?
Yes,
we have to make money.
Yeah,
and but the topic of homelessness in the city has become you know, something that you know everybody is involved in and everybody is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the top of many people's lists of concerns in the region, whereas I think, you know, in years past that may not have been at the top of the list. And for us, we're selling a building that is directly across the street from the Zyterian parking garage and the mm-hmm. Zyterian Theater. And those folks have been very receptive in our conversations about, you know, how do we get the necessary professional development attention onto this adjacent neighborhood which is providing, you know, services to the homeless populations 7 days a week. You know, breakfast,
right.
You know, at the Pilgrim Church building that I'm selling.
Yes.
As well as the Salvation Army. And it's an entire block.
Yes.
You know, and we're starting to take a look at it again from a professional development lens and say, okay, well, what's the first thing you do when you, you know, try to improve a neighborhood? You know, and it's you get a survey.
Right.
You know, you survey the neighborhood, then you get a civil engineer, and then you start to conceptualize what it can be.
Okay.
And then you start figuring out where the resources will come from. So, that work is happening in the community. There have been, you know, meetings and conversations and folks from every
for quite a while now.
Quite a while, but I would say over the past couple of months, you know, folks from sort of every different perspective, folks that are providing the services, folks with development experience, just concerned citizens, politicians, you know, are getting in a room together for the first time.
Yep.
And saying out loud, we need to do a better job at this. How do we do that? You know, because, you know, developing big buildings is exciting. Monetizing private parking lots is exciting.
Yes.
You know, but at the end of the day, how we address our homeless population and provide services to those folks is a direct reflection on who we are as a community. So
yes.
That is happening right now. And
right.
I think that's something to highlight and think about and talk about, that it's not just a talking point. It's something that people need to continue to push forward
right.
and put resources towards and reimagine and include. And but it is happening. So I do think it's worthwhile to say that.
Jay, I really appreciate you coming in. You're always available to me and being a real resource to this community. I do appreciate it, my friend. If people want to get in touch with you for your real estate, how do they do that?
They can call me at 508-985-8898, and we'd be happy to help.
And your website is?
www.lanniganinc.com. And I appreciate you giving me a call, Chris. I always enjoy talking with you.
Thank you, Jay. Really, thank you so much. Folks, so stick around. Be open phones in the next hour. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. I wondered if you're following this pursuit of the shooter at Brown University.